Serge, don't come back. We're fine. We don't need you.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Serge has fucked off. He's on holiday. It's the Game Week 5 Differential Show. Serge, just so you do a proper intro. Let me introduce you guys to our guest for today's Differential Show. It is one of our patrons, Clayton Fernandez. How are you, mate?
I'm all good. All good. Looking forward to it. Got there after the first tech issues, but yeah, hopefully it goes all right.
Yeah. Clayton got me kind of worried this morning because he turned up on Zoom really with a robot accent going on. But we think we've got rid of the gremlins. Clayton, tell the guys a little bit about you for those who don't know, mate.
Yeah, sure. So the complete opposite of you, massive Arsenal fan.
Going to say it, a nice bloke.
No, not quite. yeah, big Arsenal fan. So, don't live too far from Sid and James. So I'm Enfield based as well. And I'd say it's like 70% Spurs, 30% Arsenal, something like that. But been going to Arsenal with my dad since we were trying to figure this out. I think my first game was when I was 7. So I'm 27 now, so 20 years ago. And been through all the memberships throughout the years. Was lucky enough to be there for most of the Invincible season. Not that I remember much of it, but it's cool seeing
this
the photos.
This is not
that
why I invited you to go on a fucking eulogy about Arsenal.
Well, it's got to happen. I can't help it. But yeah, so season ticket holder at the Arsenal. And yeah, started our own Arsenal podcast in the summer, which has been good fun. I think it was just more Nima and I kind of chat about Arsenal every week, and it was kind of similar to the concept of Planet FPL when you first started, just two mates kind of having a chat and just whack the camera on and record it. And I think that's the one thing that we're trying to kind of stick to, just being fans with an opinion rather than podcasters as such. So yeah, that's a bit about me. And yeah, another FPL nut involved in almost all of the games on Slack. So yeah, one of my favorite pods to jump on.
FPL history.
Oh, do we have to do that?
Leave it. If it's shit, leave it.
It's shit. I've been playing for like 13 years. I was always like one of the better ones in school, but I think I finished inside the top 100k once in that period. So, yeah, pretty bang average, but I enjoy it.
Noted. Yeah, you also made the very serious mistake of thinking that me and Serge are friends or we're ever friends. That's, that's definitely not the case. But good luck with the pod. What's it called?
We're called the Arsenal Bite Size Podcast, and the at is at AFC Bite Size Pod.
If you lose, I might listen to it.
Yeah, I've got a feeling it's going to be like that. Like, obviously, I've been really enjoying the start of the season, but fucking hell, I'm nervous about our first win and having to, and kind of go through what that's going to be like. I hope we just don't become Arsenal fan TV because I've got my own opinions about that lot. So I hope we don't become like that.
I'm sure that you won't, mate, but we all get a bit ranty after a bad result, don't
exactly.
We talking of getting ranty on a bad result, we've obviously had some news this morning which has come as a huge shock. Literally 5 minutes after the Bournemouth Wolves Clash of the Correspondents podcast dropped on Spotify, Bournemouth announced that Scott Parker had been sacked. Shortly after Neil Grover had said I think he'll stay, although that did come with the caveat of if results continue badly, they'll look for a change. But what's your thoughts on hearing that news this morning?
I think it's so harsh. I really do. I think they beat Villa first game of the season, which I can't remember what the general consensus was, but I was shocked by that result and thought it was a massive 3 points given the fixtures they then had coming up. And I can't remember the order, but I think it was City, then Arsenal, then Liverpool. What were they expecting from that? And I get the 9-0 obviously that's not great. And that's not great. But I think the wider context of things, I don't know what they were expecting with that squad without sounding disrespectful. And I just think 4 games into the season, I'm just not really sure what the strategy is. It'd be interesting to see who they have lined up. What about yourself?
No, it seems like they've obviously clashed because I think Parker came out and his comments of we need help at the weekend had very much suggested that help hadn't been forthcoming. And that was questionable and was kind of throwing the ownership under the bus a little bit when he'd already been thrown under the bus. It's worth saying, he obviously fell out really badly with the guys who run Fulham.
True.
To the extent that Fulham fans like kind of wished ill on him, but he's not ill, but you know what I mean? Didn't want him to do well at Bournemouth. So there'll be no crying tears from them. And I don't get the vibe that Bournemouth fans had overly taken to him. It's a case that he'd got them up. Okay, see how you go. There's a lot of people who think they should have blitzed that league last year, really. Subject to obviously Fulham being great, but should have gone up a lot more comfortably than they ended up doing at the end. But yeah, sacking a manager after four games. If they lost 2-3-0 on Saturday, he's still got a job, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's the thing.
He's the reality.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with losing 9-0 in the Premier League, but I just can't help but think about the wider context of, okay, it's 3 points from their first four, which I think is probably two more than most would have hoped for, potentially. So, I don't know.
You look at it, I definitely think it's harsh, but we've all kind of all agreed really already they're going to go down.
They're the worst team so far. Yeah.
So, if they get someone in like Sean Dyche or something, he's possibly a game changer.
Higher ceiling, potentially, yeah.
Well, yeah, so if they've decided, look, clearly, if they think the same, fucked already after four games, then
let's swing a bit different.
Ideally, you would have took the ballsy approach and do what was it Watford sacked Jokanović when he'd gotten promoted? I know it didn't work out for him, but they decided that they didn't think he'd be good enough in the Premier League.
Yeah,
and just made the change.
Just bit the bullet. Which, yeah,
it seems ridiculous, but then four games into this, the thing is, they could have a different manager there now, and they might be on 0 points rather than three.
Yeah, that's
from a results perspective, from the four fixtures, just in terms of points, I mean, they've got two more points than Leicester.
Yeah, they've got a decent run
for Brendan Rodgers at the moment, right?
Yeah, very true. They've got Wolves, Forest, well, Brighton are tough, but yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they get on and who they appoint.
Yeah, certainly one to follow. It makes that game this midweek extremely difficult to predict.
Yeah,
Clayton, I believe you have correct score predictions.
I do.
For these games. Let's go through them. Let's start with Palace against Brentford. What's your thoughts, mate?
I'm going 2-1 Palace. I think it'll be a tight game, but I saw rumours that Janssen might be back. Is it Aja, however you pronounce him?
Christopher Aja played for the B team Friday, I think.
So I think that will obviously help Brentford, but I just think Palace are a very good team, like as I saw first week against us. But yeah, all of last season, I just think them at Selhurst Park, they're such a well-coached team. No bias there with Vieira. I really enjoy watching them as well, but I think they'll have too much. I'm not sure if Zaha's back. I don't know if you've seen anything about that.
I've not seen the word, actually, to be totally honest, on if he is or he isn't. I suspect it's probably more an isn't, to be honest. But yeah, like you, I've got the same, actually.
Okay.
I've got 2-1 Palace. I think Brentford's away record is not fantastic. But you fancy him for a goal with the likes of Tony.
Yeah.
Palace can make harder work of these fixtures than they appear.
True.
But yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 Palace. I think it'll be interesting to see if Mitchell's out, what they do at left back. They probably put, I would guess, Ward out there, but they can do that very easily the other way round as well.
Yeah.
And put Klein out on that side. And obviously, Brentford keep flip-flopping between these two systems. What do they go with tonight? It's no real way of ever particularly knowing with them, actually. But yeah, I've got the same. I've got 2-1 Palace. Fulham-Brighton's also 7:30 kickoff tonight. What's your thoughts on that one, mate?
That's the one I want to watch. I think that'll be a great game. And I've gone for the Brighton special, 1-1. I think it's going to be a proper chess match. It's like two really well-coached, good tactical managers. I think it's going to be quite an exciting, tactical game. So going 1-1. I think Fulham are so good. Like, seeing them against Liverpool. So I was there on Saturday when we played them, and they gave us a really good game. And yeah, I think we're looking like quite a good team at the moment as well. And we struggled against them, to be honest. And Brighton, we all know about Brighton. It's nice to see them getting the points they deserve finally. So I've got 1-1 for that game. How about yourself?
Do you see them staying up at the moment, Fulham?
I do, yeah, quite comfortably. I really do. I don't think they'll be in that relegation chat at all, to be honest.
Go on, I'm going to jump in. Tip 3 to go down.
Bournemouth. Oh, that's hard. Bournemouth, Everton. And I think Southampton might get roped into it, you know.
Mm.
But I wouldn't put my mortgage on that.
Okay. I've not gone for the Brighton special.
Okay.
I've gone 1-0 Brighton, actually. Which is it very much once I did the predictions and saw that Robert Sanchez was close to another price rise. Locked him in for me, actually, which we'll talk about in a bit. But yeah, I've gone gone 1-0 Brighton. I anticipate this being quite low scoring.
Yeah.
I think in terms of Mitrovic's aerial threat, likes of Duncan, Webster are better placed than most teams to try and deal with that. And they're just on a streak, aren't they? So yeah. I'm gonna go 1-0 Brighton actually.
Fair play, can't argue.
Southampton Chelsea.
I've got 3-1 Chelsea, I think. Yeah, I know we'll do -56. I've got Sterling in that. I think it's a game where Chelsea can potentially kill Southampton in transitions and stuff like that. I think Southampton actually created enough to score against United, but so I think they will get a goal. I just think Chelsea will have way too much firepower for them, so I've got 3-1.
Which is interesting. I'm looking for some Wilfred Zaha information, is struggling. But he did tweet yesterday at 3:45. They didn't believe, but God did. The grind never stops. See you soon.
I saw that. I had no idea what to even try and decipher
me
from
neither.
That.
This is my surprise result, I think, for the weekend. I've got 1-1.
Okay, wow.
For Southampton and Chelsea. It's based on a couple of things. One, I don't think Thiago Silva plays. I think there's probably an element of fatigue, the fact that they played with 10 men for so long on Saturday. And pitch.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's a bit of a leveler at the moment. It's not great. Yeah. And it's making for a slow game. And Southampton really get exposed when they open up and stuff. And I just don't think that the conditions are going to allow that sort of thing, to be honest. So I'm gonna back Southampton to get a result tonight. I've got that down for 1-1. Therefore, no Chelsea players.
I hope you're right.
-56.
I hope you're right indeed.
this is one thing we can agree on, isn't it? Leeds and Everton, I suspect we'll agree on this as well.
Yeah, I didn't realise until looking at my predictions, I've gone quite high scoring in most of them. I've got 3-1 Leeds in this.
Okay.
I can't really logically say why I think Everton will score. I've just kind of gone with 3-1, but I think Leeds, I've been really impressed with Leeds. And this is a bit random and a bit of a tangent. That Rene Maric, their assistant manager, I used to interact with him on Twitter back in the day when he was just an analyst and kind of writing blogs on Twitter and stuff. And yeah, it's just been quite surreal watching his journey. And obviously he was at Mönchengladbach and then Dortmund and he's gone to Leeds and kind of the principles of play that he's kind of, I know it's not entirely him, but March and him are implementing. I've been following for a while through his blogs and stuff. And I just think Leeds are such an exciting team. They're quite direct. Transitions. I just think they'll cause Everton a lot of issues. Is that tomorrow? Whenever it is.
It's tonight. Leeds, Everton, yeah.
Yeah. I've gone 3-1 for that.
Are you still interacting?
No, I lost the details to that account. That's why I set up my fantasy football account, because that was when I was in sixth form. And I used to just nerd out on football Twitter and read like how Pep would come up with these weird formations and stuff, and came across that Rene guy. But can't find the details for that account anymore.
No, that's really interesting. Is there anything on Leeds that you've picked up that we've missed from a tactical perspective?
No, nothing that you've missed. Just I find the kind of they abbreviate it with like JDP, positional play, and it's kind of the principles that Cruyff used to implement and Pep does, and it's all about maximising the zones in the pitch and I guess numerical superiority, and that's one thing that Arteta's kind of doing at Arsenal. I just nerd out on stuff like that. I find it really interesting.
For the non-nerds, can you define JDP, positional play?
Yeah, it's juxtaposition, I think. I don't know what language. I think it's just a fancy buzzword, to be honest, to give a name to, I guess, a principle. That's all it is.
What's the principle?
It's very simple. It's just numerical superiority in different zones of the pitch. So quite often with City, Arsenal, possession-based teams like that, you often feel like there's a lot of overloads in zones. There's 3v2s, and you sometimes, I think you said it about Brighton, you feel like they've got 12 people on the pitch.
Yeah,
and it's all about that, maximising zones. And while Leeds don't implement it to the same extent as those possession-based teams, they're a lot more direct. The fundamental principle of overloads and the kind of numerical superiority in zones is quite interesting to see, I find. And I just find them really exciting.
Serge, don't come back. We're fine. We don't need you.
Genuinely, though, if people Google it, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I find it really interesting reading up about that.
No, that's great insight. I've got 2-0. I just think probably in terms of intensity and stuff, they'll probably overwhelm Everton in the midfield area. Like you, I'd be very surprised if Leeds didn't win tonight.
Yeah.
I don't think the defeat at Brighton is something that they should overly concern themselves about.
No.
Go on then, your lot, Villa at home.
I'm going 3-0 Arsenal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll come back for you for that when that
flops. Yeah, I don't sound like that. Oh, yeah, I just think we're looking quite good at the moment. Team news will be interesting because I think we really missed Partey on Saturday, and it's quite a key cog in our system. And Elneny's fine at doing the crab passes, but Partey, just we can ping it into him. He'll take it on a half turn and then set up an attack within a second. And we kind of miss that vertical passing when he's not there. But I've not seen anything on that. Arteta said after Saturday in his embargoed quotes that it's unlikely that it will be available. So I think it will be. I think there'll be one change, and I've personally gone for Tomiyasu in for Tierney. I think Tierney struggled quite a bit, in my opinion, against Fulham. He looked like he wasn't quite up to match fitness. I think that inverted role, he just looks a little bit uncomfortable trying
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
it's not really suited to him. I think he's more of an outlet and more of a touchline fullback. And I just think, obviously, it's all dependent on Zinchenko news, but why I think Tomiyasu will come in at left back is I think, obviously, he's both-footed. He can play that inverted role quite well. And one eye on United, I don't think he'll play Tierney there if Zinchenko's out. So, but yeah, offensively, I'm going 3-0. I think we'll be unchanged. Only thing, I don't know if it is worth mentioning this, I saw on Arsenal circles literally 2 minutes before we started, rumours of Elneny having a season-ending injury. But I've not seen a credible source on it, though. But it was from like a Arsenal Twitter respected account. So keep an eye on that. And if that's the case, obviously unfortunate, but I think Lokonga may come in and then kind of have Xhaka drop down into a bit more of a double pivot. But yeah, sorry. Bit of a tangent.
No. I was just trying to think that that leaves you quite light in that area, doesn't it?
Big time. Yeah.
You certainly can get away. I think particularly when Partey is available, you could get away with. We've spoken about this, moving Saka even into an eight alongside Odegaard. Smith Rowe, I think, could play the role. Yep. Obviously, Xhaka's playing it. It would leave you, if you want to go with two deeper, that leaves you quite light, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's why we've been linked quite heavily with someone like a Tielemans. And while I don't think he's an out-and-out six, I think we can kind of tweak our system to make that work. That's the one area. I think we've really improved our depth, but I still worry about that central midfield area. And if I'm being greedy, I still think we need another winger. But yeah, 3-0 Arsenal's my prediction.
If Partey was out for the season and you didn't replace him,
yeah,
where do you think you'd finish?
So, I think we'd slip up and be outside of the top four. I'm just wondering, have we given ourselves enough buffer room? But I think it's too early in the season to be thinking of buffer.
Yeah, I just think, and no one's suggesting that Partey does have a long-term injury. I'm just thinking in terms of the functionality of that team, he's almost the most important player at the moment, isn't he? 100%,
yeah. And that's why I talk quite a lot about single points of failures in an Arsenal team, and I think we had too many of them last year. And I think we have reduced that, but we've still got the biggest one, in my opinion, which is the number six in Partey, and it's so crucial to how we play. But against Fulham, we created enough to win. Like, we got two lucky goals, but I think we did have other chances, but I noticed it a lot when I was in my seat and I could see there were areas where Elneny needed to kind of go in, command the ball and progress it quite aggressively. And we just really lack that. And I think what Partey brings both defensively and offensively is so important. So, yeah, I think if he is out for the season, we would miss out on top four.
Yeah, I think he's pivotal for you, mate. Hopefully he gets put in jail in a couple of months.
Yeah,
moving quickly on.
Agree. It's just it's not something I think. Yeah. No comment. I just agree. But I've made my feelings clear on it.
You're good. I'll set you up for the fall there, mate. Thoughts on Villa, just briefly?
Yeah, it's tricky. Like, on paper, I think their squad's really good. But I thought Gerrard was fine last year, but I think I might have been way off the mark on that. I don't know if he is a bit out of his depth, perhaps. But system-wise, I'm confused on what they'll go with tomorrow. I think they might revert back to the 4-3-3. I don't know who would drop out, maybe Ings, but all I can think is on paper, I think they've got a good team there, and with a good manager, they'd be doing a lot better than they are, but can't really pinpoint why they're not doing so well, other than potentially going at Gerrard. But How do you see them?
I see them as, I think we'll probably speak about it more with Lee next week. The loss of the assistant manager is proving quite a problem at the moment. There have been noises that some of the players were referring to the assistant who left as the manager.
Oh, really?
So
like Newcastle with Steve Bruce.
It might be hitting a little bit of a problem. Well, it's already hit a problem. But yeah, you look at the next three, Arsenal away, City at home, and to be honest, even Leicester away.
Yeah,
tough. They're never really good run. I think it's a big week for Villa. No, I wouldn't see them getting anything at your place. I've got 2-0.
Cool.
Bournemouth Wolves now becomes ridiculously difficult to predict. So I'm going to let Clayton do it.
So before the news, I had 2-1 Wolves. And now after the news, I have no idea. I'm just going to stick with it, but just on the very simple analysis of, I think Wolves team are better than Bournemouth. Nothing more to it than that. I think, I'm not sure how much I buy into new manager bounce and all of that sort of stuff personally, but yeah, I'm just...
Well, it's not going to be a new manager, is it? It's saying Gary O'Neill is going to take temporary charge. Okay. Leicester have got someone they appoint today. He's obviously going to do the team, isn't he? Yeah, I'll stick with my COTC prediction, which was 1-1. I'm interested to see... And the thing is, it's not even a pointer now, but interested to see, obviously, if Solanke starts and where.
Yeah.
Because in game week 1 against Villa, he played this more withdrawn.
That threw a lot of people.
They have got to play him as the number 9, even if that means they go 5-3-2 and play him with Kiefer Moore.
Do you think that was overthinking it, or do you think it was specific tactical instructions?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, I didn't watch the game. I just know positionally on the opening day, that's how he played against Villa. And obviously, we haven't seen anything yet to advance on that, and obviously Parker's gone, so does it matter? I just know that he needs to play up front to give them a chance of winning football games. I think Wolves, you never know what you're going to get, but other than a low scoring football match is generally where you're at. So I'll stick with 1-1. Although the only thing is, Neil and Bradley, obviously we've got a DM group that was obviously set up for the pod. Bradley was like, oh, manager bounce, this will make it worse for us. I don't think it does.
No.
I actually think it's more likely the Wolves win than I thought yesterday, actually.
I think so too. I think the Wolves are quietly put together a really good team as well. I think when I saw the lineup again, yeah, that's it. If they get a proper number 9, then I think they'll be all right. But yeah.
City Forest. How many?
I'm going 3-0. It was kind of borderline between 3 and 4, but yeah, I think it will be quite routine for City. I've gone 3-0, and that's the banker that I've put in Rob's competition as well.
I think that'd be most people's banker this week. We think that Forrest was, certainly Mark was saying he thought Forrest would even rotate a bit.
I've seen that. Well, I've not heard too much more about the reasoning, but I've seen people thinking they'll rotate. Is it? Yeah, what's the thinking there?
Probably because I said it yesterday. I just think it's logically play Tottenham Sunday. They've got Bournemouth Saturday. What I said yesterday was, if they're too fatigued for Bournemouth off the back of Tottenham and Man City and they blow that, that's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
The priority has got to be get the result against Bournemouth on Saturday, which is potentially a more difficult fixture now as well. Yeah. Difficult to say. I've got 3-0 as well. I don't think City will go mad. Do you think the big guns will play for City? The Cancelos, De Bruyne's, Haaland's?
I think so, yeah. I'm struggling on my captaincy this week between Salah and Haaland, and I put out a little, the favourite buzzword, X-Men's predictions and all of that. And
I saw.
Yeah, so that's kind of helping me make my decision. But yeah, I think all the big guns will play and just get the job done and then take advantage of the 5 subs, personally. I think Pep's quite keen on rhythm, isn't he? And you talk about it quite a lot going into, on your pods and stuff. And I think going into the Champions League, I think he'll be wanting his big boys to get some rhythm ahead of that.
Yeah, I also think he can leave players out of Villa. I don't think he'll fear doing that as well at the moment. So I think pre-season, you think, oh yeah, the Forest one in the midweek. But the way it's sat with 4 days from Palace to Forest, the momentum that Haaland has obviously picked up in the game and stuff as well. Cancelo getting taken off early.
Yeah, I'm a bit concerned about him for FPL.
Well, and we've said, but and I think it's worth watching, obviously, where he plays in this particular fixture as well. But makes me even more confident that he probably just plays again at the moment. The Planet FPL Derby, Clayton.
I'm intrigued to watch that. I've gone 2-1 Spurs. I think,
Good lad, you can come
yeah,
back.
I think yeah, you guys have. So I did all my Arsenal shouting at the top, but I think you guys have obviously been fantastic since Conte's come in. I think we both had really good windows for the specific needs of our team. I think you strengthened specifically to what how Conte plays and what you guys need, and you're just a very effective team. See, I personally don't like the style of football, but it gets results, so I can't argue it. And yeah, I think you're a very good team, and you'll have too much for West Ham. I think I've not actually watched West Ham too much this season. I saw them against Forest, where I think they deserved to win. Obviously, didn't happen, missed penalty and stuff. But yeah, I just think you guys are too good, and we'll
I
have
think
enough.
I think effective is a very, very good word to describe what Tottenham are, because even if you look at the weekend, what Forest had nearly 60% of the ball, and you go, you can create that illusion, but Tottenham are creating that illusion to suck you in, and it's what we do. I'm not a big fan of the style either, to be totally honest with you, but it looks
It's
like
effective.
fucking Brazil 1970 compared to Mourinho, mate.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. And I remember you used to be it's so obvious how much you're enjoying your footballing experience as a Tottenham fan compared to I remember how you used to talk about kind of going through the motions under Mourinho. And I could obviously while I was selfishly happy, I could empathize because I was the same under Emery. So yeah, as a football fan, I can understand how enjoyable it is for you.
Yeah, listen, I've got a team that's going to show up every week
Yeah, you can get
and
behind them,
support,
right?
and we are yeah we are very difficult to beat now. I've got 1-1.
Okay.
I think
Are you going to it, by the way?
I've got a ticket in. I can't remember what postcode, but I've got a ticket. The whole 3-day turnaround thing is a problem for us.
Yeah.
We saw this last year, so it makes me a little bit nervous about potential team selection, how we'll play. Admittedly, it's the same for West Ham
Yep.
because their game with Chelsea is obviously, we now know it's 3 o'clock on Saturday. Sky dropped the ball on that one, didn't they? Should have put it at fucking
Yes.
5:30 in the first place, silly bastards. And obviously, West Ham just come for us every single time. Without fail, they will come for us.
Is
They'll get absolutely murdered at Chelsea on a Saturday because they'll be
Do you
too
think?
knackered. Yeah, I wouldn't bet against that. So I think 1-1. I think Cutler notes what we do know is, I think probably Schumacher probably keeps his place, but whether he's going to be able to play Villa, Tottenham, Chelsea in quick succession is very debatable at the moment. And I presume Bissouma is going to start for us
Is that because of the
because
Bentancur?
Bentancur.
Yeah.
We think, and I don't know factually because I was at the ground, but we think that it was a concussion
Okay.
substitution, which then would rule him out of not just today, but would also rule him out of Saturday as well. So it possibly leaves Tottenham a little bit light in the midfield area. But
I think
I
that's it.
think in these two fixtures, there would just if something happened to one of those two players during the game, he would just stick Pape Matar Sarr in.
Okay.
And trust him and go with it, actually. It looks like he's going to stay with the club rather than be loaned at the moment.
I think Bissouma
Liverpool.
coming is in is yeah that's he's a great
Yeah,
player, isn't he? So there's no drop off there at all.
Well, we managed to survive the last 4 months of the season with Højbjerg and Bentancur staying fit. If either of them got injured, we were dead, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Liverpool, Newcastle.
3-0 Liverpool. I think I've seen mixed things on Bruno Guimarães as well, but working on the assumption that he's not playing. I don't know if you've got any actual information.
Out as far as I'm aware.
Oh, okay. Cool. So yeah, that's part of the reason I've gone 3-0 then. I think he, similar to how we were talking about party and Arsenal and importance and system, I think Bruno's got that same importance to Newcastle. And I think, yeah, Liverpool, one of the best attacking teams in the league, despite what everyone was saying a couple of weeks ago. I think they'll have far too much. And yeah, gone 3-0.
We got a little bit more conservative, 2-0. And it is a 2-0 reflection based on what discussed yesterday that no Wilson, possibly no Saint-Maximin, looks like no Guimaraes, looks like Isak won't be registered in time or he's
Okay.
having visa issues. So that leaves him short.
Would that be
And I
Chris
think,
Wood
like,
up top then?
well, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
Would Almiron and possibly Fraser. and then you're bringing what, Longstaff in for Gramaris. Suddenly that feels a bit light, doesn't it?
Yeah, big time.
It's a shame they've just had them all kind of pick up little, and none of them are big issues. We've all just picked up little issues together at the same time, which is not ideal when you're playing an opponent like Liverpool. No. So
when everyone's fully fit, I think they'll have a great season. Though they're really good. Unfortunately, I was there last year and at St James's Park when our top four hopes died, but that they're unbelievable.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about it?
I'm all right, mate. Let's Leicester and Man United. What's your
No, I've gone 2-0 Liverpool. Go on, Leicester United, the final one. That's the Thursday game.
I've gone Desmond Tutu. I think.
Oh, yeah. Like it.
Yeah, I think that game. I've not looked into the history of what the results are, but it just always has that high scoring vibe about it. And I think Man United look like they're clicking a bit more offensively, but I think there's still space to hurt them defensively. And I think Leicester, the boys at average, above average FPL, always starts at 1-1, which I agree with. So I think 1-1 times 2. What about you?
I'm going to back United to win, actually. I've got 2-1 United, and I'm really interested to see Fernandes again without Ronaldo. I feel like it's very quietly might be building back towards... And I think he's a shit. I think he's such a dislikable player. Same. I really do. He's also not related to you, as you confirmed before we started as well. But I feel like he's worth watching at the moment, actually. The fixtures don't make me think, oh, I'm going to tear up my team, put Bruno Fernandes in. Obviously not. But I think he's worth watching. And I bet he returns on Thursday night, actually. I've stuck him in the minus 56, which we'll get onto in a sec. Leicester Villa is our scheduled clash of correspondence next week. We might be renaming it Curse of the Correspondence. Because I'm looking ahead here and I'm thinking, if Leicester do get beat, and then they go to Brighton on Sunday and I've got 1 point from 6, I think that might be curtains, you know.
Yeah, you could be recording and talking about 2 new managers, potentially.
Well, we joked yesterday on the Q&A about a wife swap.
Yeah.
Gerrard to Leicester and Rodgers to Villa, mate. See how you crack on with that. I'm going to 2-1 United. I'm going to give them the edge. I think it's looked better so far. Yeah. I actually think that was a really good win for them on Southampton on Saturday, which you would obviously expect them to go and win. But I think the circumstances were quite difficult, as I think Chelsea might find out tonight. That could obviously look like a very stupid prediction, considering they won their 6-0 in April and took their foot off the gas. Right, that's predictions done. Dead team. Have you got a dead team, Clayton?
I do. Let me just quickly check how it's getting on.
While you check, I will tell you that mine and Sudge's got 57 points in the week just gone. Returns for Rhys James, Ivan Perisic, Trent 17, and Mitrovic. Trent 17 accounting for well over a third of the points there. Top managers of the week, Charlie LC, 83. Paul Gault-Allen, 83. Zombie Cobblers, 87. Joe Harris, 88. M. Morrison, 91. Manager of the week, Sim Diesel, our friend, 95 points. Trent, Perisic, Robertson, Van Dijk, Kulusevski, Saka, captain Erling Haaland for 95. Wooden Spoons, players under 45. FPL Heskibo, Dave Coles, Mark Bell, Johan Telstad, Zombie Cairns, and Wooden Spoon goes to Zombie Pato. 36 points with returns for Robertson, Saka, and Cucurella. How did you do, mate?
Same as you guys, 57 as well. Trent.
Have we got the same team?
I think it's probably similar. Yeah, got Trent 17, Perisic 6, Robertson 9, and then Mitrovic with his goal. Saka with a little assist in there as well. 57 points for my zombie team, who are only four points behind
Robertson
my real team.
No Robertson or Saka in ours. I should say with points for Alisson as well. I hear this every year, and I've seen a few of the patrons saying it on Slack. My zombie team is doing better than my real team. This shit happens every fucking year. I promise you. Don't stress about it.
Oh, no.
You beat your zombie team.
It's funny.
differentials. So 77 for myself and Suj last week. Pretty decent week, actually. 77 minus 4. Returns for Loris. 9 for Robertson. 9 for Gabriel. 6 Kulusevski. 4 for Gundogan. 5 Jamie Vardy. Very importantly, 30 for captain Raheem Sterling. Managers of the week, some good scores here. James Morrison, Craig Payne, A. Frost, all 88. Wayne Miles, 89. Bernie Slaven, 92. It's not... Didn't he play for Middlesbrough?
I have no idea. I'm relying on you for that one.
Manager of the week, though, by a distance, Mark Gregory, 98 points, taking him up to 4th overall in the differential league. Returns for Loris, Emerson, Gabriel, Robertson, Foden, Kulusevski, Roberto Firmino, 22. Oh, wow. and also captain Raheem Sterling for 30. 50 and unders, weren't many bad scores this week. David Thorpe, K Devo, 50. Differential Cole, 48. Juno Cowie, 48. Chris Tellez, 46. You have the wooden spoon this week with what didn't look like a bad team, mate. Returns for Raya, Robertson, Gabriel, Foden, Gundogan. Nothing offensively. It was one, by the way, just to go back to Mark Gregory's differential team of the week, the 98 pointer, 30 points on the bench on top of that as well.
Jesus Christ. Who was it?
Saar for 3, Mitrovic 7, Saint-Maximin 9, and Diego Dallo 11.
Bloody hell. Fair play.
So, should have bench boosted, Mark. Yeah. Well done, mate. Brilliant score. You got a team going on now?
Not in the differential one, no. I played it last year, but I think I went a bit too mad with all of the different comps. So I left the differential one and Sky this year, but playing all the others.
That's fine, mate. We've got problems. The biggest problem me and Suj have got is we've got two Aston fucking Villa players. It's a clear problem to start with in Luca Dean, Nolly Watkins. We obviously have Callum Wilson still red flagged. We got Patterson, don't fancy his fixture. Castagne for Leicester, don't fancy his fixture. We have one free transfer. 0.5 in the bank. I feel like the priority is to get rid of these Villa players. So I'm going to shout out a few differentials potentially for Clayton. A few forwards to mention to start with. Kai Havertz of Chelsea. Southampton away, West Ham at home, Fulham away. Decent few. 6 points from his first three. Doesn't fill me with much confidence. Makes me feel maybe I should just stick with a talisman like Ollie Watkins. Solanke, 5.8. Consider saving the money quite quickly. Danny Welbeck, 6.5. Decent fixtures. They're the ones I've got in mind up front to get rid of Watkins. Any preference out of those three? Welbeck, Havertz, Solanke?
I think out of those, I'd probably go Welbeck, to be honest. I'm conscious of what you've said about he's a great worker for the team. Will the output necessarily be there? But I just think with the upcoming fixtures, and I always back Brighton to score, and like you said about Havertz, they've also got decent fixtures coming up. I'm not sure the goals will be there for him. And then Solanke is just a bit of an unknown. So I think I'd go Welbeck personally. Where's your gut at?
Yeah, to be honest, that's quite a comfortable decision, I think, in my opinion. Only the two assists for Welbeck so far, but certainly with potential over those next three. Fulham, Leicester, Bournemouth.
Yeah, feels like it can be
dived onto. And to be honest, he could even be used as a placeholder to go back to Watkins, possibly as well, when Villa then have a good run of fixtures themselves from game week 8 when Brighton come into Palace, which doesn't look the worst fixture, but I can guarantee you now that they won't beat them.
Is there any way you're comfortable with rolling and fielding the 11 you've got to have two and have a little restructure next week or not?
Well, possibly, because I want to get rid of Luca Dean as well. That's an absolute shocker at the moment. So, few defenders to shout out. Lewis Dunk at Brighton. I noticed Joel Veltman's picked up a flag. I've missed the reasoning for that.
I've not seen that either.
Dunk went up in price last night. It's 4.6. Got Emerson Royal at Tottenham is 5.0. Ben White, 4.5. Kieran Tierney, 4.9. I guess you'd be avoided at the moment based on you think he might not play. Rico Henry at Brentford, 4.5. Dallo and Malacia at United, 4.4. Emerson Palmieri, 4.0. John Stones, 5.4. Now to get John Stones, you've got to take a -4.
What would that
consist of? The
others
don't require it. Well, I'm thinking basically Watkins to Welbeck and Dean to Stones.
I feel like that's worth it with... There's no guaranteed clean sheet, but Forest at home and then Villa away.
Of course
away.
It's not. But even you don't even just have to judge it over this week, can you? You can look at City going to Villa at weekend. So the two Villa players got City at the weekend. And Brighton have got Leicester at home.
Yeah, I like that.
So doesn't even have to return the 1 week straight away, does it?
No. What's the latest on Ake and Laporte, do you know?
I don't know. Time recording. We're recording quite early Tuesday morning. Not got it at this stage. My guess would be, though, based on the team that he picked at Newcastle, that it would be Aki and Stones if he did decide to throw him back in at the moment. That would be my guess, actually.
That's true.
So I feel like Stones might be worth punting.
The only thing is, again, would you rather do it next week where you can do those two for free and then another one for a minus four? Or is the team in too much of a state?
I just think those two Villa players, there is that as well.
Yeah.
There's other fights. I mean, we're talking about, I mean, to be honest, keep Watkins. Wilson's flagged, and I'm talking about selling Watkins. At least he's fit.
True.
So, I mean, arguably, it's Wilson that should go. I am conscious, though, that Newcastle would turn it into a really good run of fixtures once they get beyond tonight, and there's every chance I want to go back.
Yeah.
It would probably make more sense to remove Wilson than Watkins. But then if I remove Watkins, I've got no need for Wilson anyway.
Yeah,
and I'm never bothered about the value in this.
No, exactly. Do you know how long Wilson's out for? I thought it was 2-3 weeks, potentially.
Yeah, which could take in sort of Liverpool, Palace, West Ham.
Yeah, I think I'd do that one, to be honest.
What, sell Wilson?
Yeah, so then that way, at least you've got... I know what we said about Villa, but at least you've got a guaranteed playing forward there rather than someone that's just sat there not playing.
Yeah, I hear you. I think I'm gonna go for that minus four for me and Serge. I think he'd say do it. So Dean and Wilson to Welbeck and Stones, I think we'll go for.
If it flops, Serge, I'm sorry.
Would leave us with a bust team of Lloris in goal, Gabriel, Robertson and Stones. Midfield five of Bowen, Kulusevski, Gundogan, Aronson, Sterling. Vardy, I think we still play, and Welbeck up front, Watkins first sub. Or would you rather play Watkins instead of, say, Aronson at home to Everton? I can't be having that, I don't think.
No, I'm similar to you where I usually always favour the forward, but I think Aronson will do well against Everton.
Yeah, I think with the fixtures there, I know Watkins got a couple against you at the Emirates behind closed doors, but I can't see him going off big. I've got the captaincy bust on Sterling, but I wonder if that's right with my prediction. And the more I'm looking, I'm thinking about Gundogan a little bit, actually.
Okay.
Could be a little bit cheeky having started at the weekend.
That's a nice little punt. I like that. I think if that was my team, that's what I would do. Although I do think Sterling scores a couple. I think Gundogan also does.
Yeah, I think most people on the face of it would probably say Sterling is the better way to go. He's almost certain to start, you would imagine. And I'm probably in the minority thinking that Southampton might get something tonight. So, yeah, I think I'll stick with Sterling, go Gundogan vice, I think. Right, minus 56. Suj had a great week, by the way. 88 points. Fucking bastard. Captain Sterling in that, didn't he?
Oh, wow. I
mean, what's he think? What's he thinking?
Fair play.
He needs shooting, really, but there you go. Yeah, James, I got like 24 points more than if I'd captained Mo Salah, but no. Who was it said? I saw Cole put on Slack. Brilliant, brilliant comment this morning. Managed to nullify the greatest FPL asset of all time and then got sacked straight off.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit harsh.
So true.
I got 79 points in my minus 76. Treble Arsenal in midfield didn't go quite to plan, but 17 points from Odegaard, Saka, Martinelli. A captain Salah, like I'm sure many will have done. Trent Robertson doubling up for the 26 points. 6 points from Raya, quite handy. Nothing from Tony, Rashford or Henry. 17 from Haaland left me on 79 for the week. Let's pick out some of the good scores for you. 99 points for Toby Jarvis. In the 100 club were Nala Duckworth, Connor Hay, Dan L, manager of the week by distance, H. Guyat with 115 points.
Bloody hell.
Returns for Raya, Trent, Perisic, Robertson, Gabriel, Bernardo Silva, Pascal Gross, captain Luis Diaz, and Erling Haaland. The only blankers were Gabriel Jesus and Kevin De Bruyne.
That's insane. Can you see the game week rank on that?
No, not where I'm looking, actually, unless I go and look into the team, which I to be honest, Clayton, I can't be fucking bothered to do, mate. So I'm not going to do it. Wooden Spoons, who had a bad week?
I think I might be.
No, I don't think so, mate. Hugh Blaney got 48. Simon Bibby, our Newcastle correspondent, 45. Tony Liggis, 44. Kevin, FPL bus team, puts the graphics out for us. 40 points with returns for Raya, 6. Carvalho, 6. That's a brave pun.
Yeah.
Harry Kane, 10. 40 points. There were a cut to teams who didn't take a minus 56. And they've been fucking removed. Sorry, shit happens. 70 remain. Only the strongest will survive. I sent Suj a reminder this morning about minus 56 as well as Sky. It's going to be really fucking awkward if he misses the deadline for minus 56. I'm really, really, really
just
awkward.
Just get him to outsource his team.
Yeah. How did you do yourself, mate?
Not great. I got 53. So obviously minus 3 when you account for the 56. But my returnees were... I didn't have Trent because I used him the week before. So I had double Liverpool defence, Robertson with 9, Gomez clean sheet. And then my only other returnees were Saka with the assist and Pascal Gross. I had Lewis Dunk 7 on the bench, which wasn't great for me. But yeah, 53 all out. Hoping I do a bit better this week with my team.
Good luck. What you got?
Similar to your usual strategy, all in on 3 teams with a sprinkle good of man. 2 others. That's I love playing it like that. This is my favourite game, I think, the minus 56. Yeah, I find it so much fun. But I've got Edison in goal. Can I sing the Saliba song? I won't do that. Saliba, Gabriel.
You mean the Basuma song?
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, no, it's Brighton's song, by the way. It's not Spurs. It's Brighton's song for Basuma.
Oh, fair play. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, so if you think you've been creative, sorry, mate. You fucking ain't.
Right, I'll go take a
by
shot
the way, celebration police, just while we think about it.
Bloody hell.
No, I'm not going to, because I think every single patron absolutely agrees. Like, celebrate whoever you fucking want. But I do have one bone to pick. What's this black t-shirt nonsense going on?
Do you know what? Like, yeah, it's correct. So I know them really well, and I sit with them sometimes. They're a young group. They're called the Ashburton Army, and like they're really young. They're like, they're all junior gunner members, so that varies between 16 and 18. And then they range between 16 and 18 and a few older boys. But what they started to do, which I can get behind, but the atmosphere at the Emirates has been pony for years. There's a lot of like. I don't know how to say this.
I don't think you'd say years. You don't need like a full stop there or anything.
It's been pony, but there's a lot of like the sit down brigade and all of that. And these young lads just came in and just wanted to improve the atmosphere. So they got a little group going. They have a direct line to the club now where they all sit in an area that the club actually assigned them seats. So they're all sat together and stuff. And they have improved the atmosphere. Like it's genuinely been because of them. With COVID, we had the option to do season ticket holidays, and a lot of the older generation took that, and without sounding like a wanker, the atmosphere really improved because you had a bit of a younger crowd in there that people wanted to sing, get involved, get behind the team. And even the atmosphere at the Emirates has been so toxic. Whenever there's been mistakes, people have grown, and I don't know if you saw this, but when Saliba scored the own goal, the atmosphere was so different. It was like trying to pick him up, and I do put a lot of that credit down to them. But the caveat is that they now, I think they've watched Green Street once and they think they're like hooligans. And like I'm in their group chat and I won't leak like some of the stuff they talk about, but it is a bit weird. And I can get behind what they started and try and improve the atmosphere, but I do agree with like the Palace wannabe comments and stuff. And it is a bit weird.
Any group that are trying to improve atmosphere in a football stadium, I'll clap my hands to, no problem. The wearing of the black t-shirt is a huge no-no for me.
Yeah.
If you're playing black, fine. But yeah. It's not. The black is no representation of Arsenal Football Club.
No,
I just think
exactly.
Going,
you know the connotations
wearing red,
that come with that.
Even if they'd have got, even if they'd have gone yellow, well, yeah, it's like an ultra kind of fucking vibe of wearing black, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And like that, you know, the whole like Club Shop FC, like they're very against that. Like Arsenal are known for being Club Shop FC and stuff. And I think that was part of it, like trying to make a point of like, no, we don't want to always just be seen as that. But I just think when you go with black, you know what the connotations of that are.
Exactly that.
So, yeah, I don't agree with
that. Yeah, we particularly saw it with a few nations in Euro.
Exactly,
didn't we?
Yeah.
We know exactly, yeah. I think that someone needs to have a quiet word. I think otherwise, what they're doing, great. just don't wear.
I think the club have, by the way.
Don't wear black, that's
I think they have had a word. Like, and Arteta and Edu speak to them directly, like fortnightly and stuff, which is quite weird, but I think...
Really?
Yeah, like Arteta's well aware of them and stuff. And
if I want to get intel for Spurs, that's what I know what I have to do. I have to dig out the old black kit from 2008-09. Which every time I look at it makes me think of Darren Bent. Anyway, you're minus 56.
Sorry, yeah, I have got
Edison in goal.
Saliba, Gabriel in defence with Trent and Diaz. I've got a midfield of Luis Diaz, Rodrigo, Sterling midfield. And then Jesus, Firmino, Am I a Casual, chasing last week's points. And then Haaland, captain. And then my bench is Ward, Eze, Anderson and Andreas Pereira.
Yeah, I feel like we should probably get a rule in not to have Diaz and Diaz in the same team. Yeah, I feel like I fucked up last week because I shouldn't have put Haaland in. But in my head, I was thinking I'm going to captain KDB in midweek, which is now what I'm going to do in this. So I've gone 3-5-2. I've gone Alisson in goal. I've gone Stones, Cancelo and Pascal Strauch of Leeds, captain Kevin De Bruyne, Rodrigo Moreno, Jack Harrison, Luis Painin Diaz, Bruno Fernandes up front. I should get pelters for this. Roberto Firmino and Gabriel Jesus. To be honest, part of thinking with Firmino as well that obviously Nunes' suspension ends and so I could see it being a 90-minuter for Firmino. And I don't see anyone going off particularly big this week.
No.
Those who I fancy to do quite well don't have great forward options, actually.
No, exact same logic that I went with him as well. So, fingers crossed he returns.
My subs is Sanchez, White, Webster, Dervis, Soglu. I felt like I needed a little bit of insurance this week because it's midweek fixtures just to be on the safe side.
Same thinking, yeah.
That's it. You don't play Sky, so I'm not going to talk about it much. Other than to say the intention is to captain Kalidou Koulibaly tonight if he plays. Luke Williams will obviously do the Sky Fantasy podcast with me tomorrow. Keep an eye out for a tweet at the end of the games tonight asking for questions. Clayton, thank you so much for your time. The first of many patrons will be joining me over the next week or so. It's brilliant to get you guys involved. Where can everyone follow you on the Bird app and give a reminder of your podcast, mate?
Yeah, cheers, mate. I'm at Clate AFC and the pod, if there's any Arsenal fans, it's at AFC Bite Size Pod. And thanks for having me on. This is my second favourite pod after the main one you do. So I prefer, my favourite is the main one on the Monday and then the diff pod is my second one that I love. So yeah, thanks for having me on. Really enjoyed it.
Pleasure, mate. Would you ever have a Tottenham fan on your pod?
Oh, well, yeah, if it was you, but... to be fair, we are looking to do that. We do a match preview.
I was going
to
say, can you fuck off and ask someone else?
Nicely set up. No, we're looking
to
do
match previews. No, I would do it, mate. I would do it. Yeah, if it works out, I'll do it.
Nice one. Thanks again. Really enjoyed this.
Brilliant. Clayton, thank you so much. Everyone, as per usual, play it your way. Good luck. Team news stream for advanced tier patrons, 4 o'clock. Still got the deadline stream, obviously, available to everyone. 5 o'clock. Good luck, guys. Play it your way. Thanks again,
safe.
Clayton. Yeah, you could do that.
I'll do that. Stay safe.
Go on, go on.
Ciao for now. Pathetic, really, weren't it?
No, do it again without laughing.
All right. In character. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
In character, you know. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.